aren't you thankful for the life in Christ Jesus? Amen. He says, I like that part of the song, heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Amen. He came to comfort the feeble, to give strength to the weak. Amen. Sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. Amen. That's why he came. These are spiritual truths this morning that we are aware of today. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I guess our children have already been dismissed downstairs. They have not? All right, so, okay. All right, they're down. Okay. And so let's be turning to Colossians chapter number 1 there. We're going to start there, and then we'll end up over in, I think, 1 Corinthians is where we're going to go this morning. But just the we've been looking at there in Colossians where Paul giving some very pointed direction about his prayers. Remember, we talked firstly about, because when I heard of your faith, I immediately began to pray for you in Colossians chapter 1. For this cause also, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you. We began to pray. As soon as we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, you receiving the gospel message, amen, saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And he said, when we heard of this, we began to pray, and we didn't cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then last week we looked about how that we are to walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, and how that walking worthy was not in that we were trying to earn something. It was just walk according to, or walk as a believer should walk, and how we ought to live our lives. And so here, as I was looking at this again this morning, and I was planning to move on for a few verses there, but I got kind of hung up on that spiritual understanding. So we want to talk about that this morning. Spiritual truths. What does Scripture mean when it talks about a spiritual understanding? Paul says, I'm praying that you might be filled. It's my desire that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's my desire. That was his desire for the believers, the ones that had turned and received the gospel message. As soon as we heard about it, it's our desire that you be filled with the knowledge. And as I've heard many say here, and even the songs that we've been singing this morning about knowing God. Amen. Now, there are some spiritual truths, there's some spiritual understanding that we receive, and you think, well, does that mean I will receive this, you know, outside of myself? Is this something that I receive? How do I receive these spiritual truths? Well, Paul, in his teaching, even some very direct and pointed instruction, is given of spiritual understanding. Spiritual truths. So we're not just talking about maybe just, you know, as someone's already talked about here this morning, hearing from God, and that it's so important in our walk that we do hear the voice of the Lord. How many times have you prayed, God, give me an ear to hear, or what your spirit says? And I believe that the Spirit of God does direct a believer this morning, those that are led of his spirit. So it's our desire that we hear from God. But yet, when we talk about spiritual understandings or spiritual truths in Scripture, it's more, you know, it's things that, you know, when we talk about the gospel message, it's things supernatural. It's outside of us. I was talking to a guy at work this week, and I don't particularly think he's a believer. I don't know him real well, but what little bit I do know, I don't think that he really thinks to be a believer. But, you know, we were talking about, I said, you know, there is something, there's an other world, so to speak. There's what we see, there's what we can behold with our eyes, but then there's also the spiritual, something not carnal, not fleshly, that so many people choose to ignore and say, even maybe to the point that it doesn't exist, that basically what we have is what we can see and what we can put our hands on and touch. But Jesus said this way, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Amen. That my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. See, God deals with the spirit of man. And we've been looking at that over the last few Sundays, how that he touches our spirit. He changes us in a way that nothing else can work, nothing else can move, that he touches our heart. The word of God, as I was getting up here this morning, a lot of times, you know, you get a little nervous. You think, oh, Lord, help me here today. And I begin to think about the word of God. Just the very word of God itself is powerful. Even outside or apart from even my ability to rightly divide it, if we just read the word of God, it has power. Amen. And it's able to go where no surgeon's knife can go. It's quick. Scripture says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So on those Sunday mornings when I'm just not real sure, I say, God, I'm just relying on the power of your word. And I'm just relying on the ability of your word to go to the heart. Lord, help me, Lord, to rightly divide it. God, help me to rightly teach your word. And as I guess it was Ezra there when they began, they stood up and read the word there before all the people. And they read it for so long. And it says, and they gave the meaning of it distinctly. That's my desire. God, help us to rightly divide it, to give the meaning distinctly, directly. Aren't you thankful for the truth of God's word? These are spiritual truths. We're dealing with spiritual things. We're not dealing with carnalities. We're not dealing with things that are temporal, that's going to pass away. But we're dealing with eternal matters. Amen. We're dealing with eternity. And Paul says, it's my desire that you would be filled with spiritual understanding. Not carnal. Spiritual things. Spiritual knowledge. Amen. God, give us spiritual knowledge. Now let's go. We may come back here. Well, we will. I think we will anyway. To Colossians shortly. But let's turn first to, let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I just want to read. I don't think I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'd like to, but just for the sake of time, I won't do that. Let me find a good place to start here. Let's start with verse 1. Amen. He says, And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or among them that are complete, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. We can stop there for the time being. He says, and quoting from Isaiah in verse 9 there, he says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I know I've said it before, but I'm always the type when I say, when I read that word, but as it is written, what do I like to do? And what do we like to do? We like to go find where it's written. You know, when Paul says it's written, then he's pulling from some either Old Testament scripture, from a prophet or a Psalms, or even maybe from one of the writings of Moses. He says it's written, that somewhere this is written, as it is written, I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So we want to see this morning where it is written. Can anybody help me with that today? I did great research, and I looked off to the right side of my Bible, and it said Isaiah chapter 64. Amen. Am I the only one that had that in their Bible? I'm not, am I? So let's look at Isaiah chapter 64 this morning. The Apostle Paul says, I didn't come to you with enticing words. I didn't come with men's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. Amen. He said, this mystery that the world did not know, that the rulers, the princes of this world didn't know it. He said, if they'd known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, I have not seen. So let's go to Isaiah, and let's find out what Isaiah is talking here in Isaiah chapter 64. He says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we look not for, thou camest down the mountains, flowed down at thy presence. Isaiah said, just as you moved back then, oh, that you would do it again. Amen. If we know the prophet Isaiah in his time, we know that it was a time of turmoil. It was a time of judgment upon the nation of Israel. It was a time of captivity for many that were taken out of the land. And Isaiah, as he would look around and see the situation of the people of God, he said, God, if you would just move like you did before. God, if you would just come down like you did there on Mount Sinai when the fire ascended upon the mountain and the smoke and the earth shook. He said, Lord, if you would just do that again. He said, we weren't expecting it then. When it came, it wasn't something we were looking for. And if you read the account there, when Moses and the people were gathered around that mountain, the Bible says that they all fear. And even Moses himself said, I was afraid and I shook. Because God was revealing his power. Man, just not the fullness of it. The fullness of it would have consumed them all. But just enough. He just gave them a peek. And Isaiah said, Lord, if you would just do it again. Lord, we're in captivity here. We're in bondage, Lord. If you could just once again move like you did there on Mount Sinai. The song of Deborah and Barak in Judges says it this way. He says, the mountains melted from before the Lord. Even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. He said, the very mountains melted. Like you see a mountain, you just see this. It just melted away at the presence of God. Isaiah said, Lord, if you could just do it again. If you could just once again move in that way. But he doesn't stop there. He says, for since the beginning of the world, since the very beginning, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Amen. A little different twist there. He says, Paul told us, he says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Isaiah says, for them that wait for him. Lord, if there's something, Lord, that we're looking for, there's something that we're expecting, God, I want you to do this again. There's something that you prepared for them that waiteth for him. To wait just simply means to tarry. We find all throughout Old Testament scripture, I wrote down a few of them. I'd like to read them all, but I'm not going to. But maybe on your own you could take some time and just do a quick study about those verses in scripture, Old Testament scriptures specifically, that speaks about this waiting. Just let me run through a couple of them real quickly here. A few of them, not a couple, a few. Psalm 33 and 20 says it this way. It says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 106 says it this way. Psalms 106:13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Now back in Isaiah, several in Isaiah that we could look at. We'll just look at a few of them. Isaiah chapter number 8. Eight 8 and 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. I will wait for him, he that hideth his face, and I'll look for him. Isaiah 30 and 18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will be exalted that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And of course, one of the most familiar to us, and anybody know where we're going to go next? Isaiah 40. That's it, Isaiah 40. Let's start at verse 28, just because this is such a great passage. They all are, but maybe just because we're so familiar with this one. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He says, haven't you heard that the creator of the whole earth, he doesn't get tired? He does not get weary. He doesn't wear out. He never gets exhausted. It says he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. If there's any of us in here this morning that ever fell into this category, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Amen. Even the youth shall faint. You young people that are here this morning that think I'm so strong on my own, you know what? That faints, doesn't it? As to all of us that maybe have a few more years on you, could testify of. But here the scripture says that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. When we talk of young men there, it's almost like a selected young person, as one that would go and be chosen out of a group of young people. So it's more than just a very youthful person. It's a chosen one. It's, matter of fact, the same term is used over in, in Samuel there, when it talks about King Saul. It says he was a choice young man. He was chosen. Doesn't the scripture say he was head and shoulders, maybe I can use my own interpretation, head and shoulders above everyone else. If you go through and pick someone, a goodly person, head and shoulders above the rest. Well, we know the story of King Saul, that even though, you know, he may have been a choice young man, even his strength failed. But listen how Isaiah finishes. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait. There's this waiting upon the Lord, almost like an expectancy, patiently waiting on God, that we can find all throughout the Old Testament scripture. They that wait upon him, he says he gives strength to the weak. I was thinking, as my sister was testifying there, when we talk about storms and battles that we go through in this life and things that we face and hardships, amen, I believe our God can give us strength in them, can't he? Amen. They might not go away, as she said. They still may be there. But yet God gives us the strength to get through them. He gives strength to the weary. Amen. Those that are weak. I was talking to another guy I work with, and he is a believer. And he's going through a whole lot right now. And he comes and he's like, I don't, because my faith is weak, you know. I said, yeah, you know, God's able to give us strength in that. You know, whatever we're facing, whatever we go through, God's able to give us the strength. And I guess there was a certain prayer he was praying and just didn't see God moving like he'd like to see him move. Didn't see him answering prayer. And, you know, that happens to all of us at some point in our life. There's something we have, some need in our life. And I've always, you know, I got to go back to what the Apostle Paul, when he talked about the thorn in his flesh. Now, we've talked about it here before. And I believe it was, he said, I went to the Lord, what, three times? A messenger from Satan says, sent to buffet me that I might not be exalted above measure. So there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And so he said, he went to the Lord three times, said, God, remove this. I think thrice is what it says. I'm thinking it's going to be three. And each time, we don't have it recorded, but apparently the answer was no. And then finally God speaks to him and says, Paul, he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. My divine influence upon your heart, what I'm able to put inside of you, my strength, he says, my grace is enough. Amen. Well, God, I want you to take away this storm, Lord. I want this gone out of my life. God says, listen, my grace is sufficient. Yeah, you'd like to see the thorn removed, but I may, because of this. He goes on from there. He says, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Amen. Could it be possible that God is moving in our life in the midst of our storms? Is it possible that he could take a battle that you're facing right now and use it for good? I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the lives of my family, those that were going through a hardship for so long and praying, God, remove this from me. Take it away. And then you look back and see where God is able to use that. It gets you through it. Might not be the most pleasant thing in the world. No storm is it? And we'd like to see them. I guess if God removed them all, people would be signing up for this all the way, wouldn't they? Wouldn't be hard to get people signing up for it. If we just, we sign up, we say, Lord, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, and then all of a sudden everything just starts working out great. Boy, this place would be full. Amen. But we know this morning that there is a strength that comes from the Lord, that his grace, his divine influence on our heart is enough. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It's sufficient. When you think of something being sufficient, it means it's enough. It's what we need. Paul says, please remove it, Lord. God says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. But he says, they that wait upon the Lord. Amen. They that wait. Let's go back to Isaiah 64 again. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Says, from the since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has seen, hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for thee. That's why when I read that in Scripture, and I read that in the Old Testament, and even all the way to the end of the Old Testament, and then here comes Jesus on the scene, John preparing the way, the Elijah that was to come, and here we have Jesus coming, the very first message that I find him preached there in Matthew chapter 5. Let me just look there just to make sure that I get it exactly right. But on the very first message, he begins to preach of when he comes. What's the very first message he preached? Blessed are the poor. They that wait. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when ye shall, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So when Jesus comes on the scene here and he begins his first message, he stands there on the mountain and he sees the multitude, the Bible says, and he just goes up to him and says, listen, you that have waited, you that the prophets spoke of, you that Isaiah said, listen, just wait. Wait patiently. Amen. Your Redeemer is coming. Amen. Your salvation is coming. Amen. Riding upon a mule. He's coming. Save us now, O God. Your strength is coming. That's why when Jesus stood up in the temple that day and he opened up the Bible and he began to preach, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Amen. Recovering of sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, walking to those that are lame. He says, I've come for those that have need of a physician. Not for those that were whole. Not for those that had given up on the weight. Said he's not coming. Our strength is not coming. We rely on our own selves. But they begin to, there seems to have been a group of people there that day when Jesus preached on the mountain that were waiting. That were calling saying, God, save us. But let me tell you this morning, where we stand right now, our strength has come. Amen. We have what we need in Christ. We're not looking for it down the road somewhere. We're not saying, God, Lord, come. Let me tell you, he's come to us. He's come to his temple. Amen. He dwells in the hearts of men. We have been filled with his Spirit. That's why Paul, when he talks about it there, he says, listen, I didn't come with enticing words. I didn't come with little fancy phrases. He said, I just came in the power of the Spirit. Amen. I just came in demonstration. He said, because he says it this way, because I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I know we use that verse when we talk about heaven up somewhere, you know, God, well, I don't know what's prepared for us, but you know what? Paul doesn't stop there, does he? He goes on, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God, give us spiritual understanding. That's why Paul would pray. When he heard about their conversion, he heard about their faith, he says, my prayer is that you would grow in wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding. These New Testament letters that Paul had, you know what they are? They're spiritual truths. Amen. Amen. They're spiritual truths. They're truths that dealing with the inner man. Truths that's dealing with the new creation of God, of what we have now in Christ Jesus. See, there's some things that we understand right now. Just, you know, most Christians in a church would understand Jesus had to come and die. But you know what? Not everybody understood it then. That's a spiritual truth. That's a spiritual understanding that has eternal effects on your soul. Just simply knowing and believing that Jesus died for us. Thank you, Father. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's a spiritual truth. Amen. When Jesus stood up that day and preached that message, for God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16, we see it posted. That's a spiritual truth that we have understanding of here this morning. That the life that we have is in Christ Jesus. He said, not everybody understood it. Back up, look at back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what he said. He says, you know, we're speaking a wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. The princes of this world there just simply is a phrase that speaks of rulers of the world. This would be the educated elite. This would be those that maybe went to the universities and studied and had gained the knowledge, but yet they didn't have the spiritual understanding. I'm amazed what very intelligent, educated people come up with even today. I'm amazed. Man, I won't go into it. You know them. listen to the news. This is right. This is right. You know, when you stand for the Word of God and you stand for the truth of Scripture, you know, and say, God said that marriage is this. Amen. God said it's a marriage between a man and a woman. But then, you know, the wisdom of the world comes along and says, oh, no, that's not what it is. Amen. It's this. I'm amazed. Just like, what? These are smart people. Amen. But I tell you, I like the way he ends that verse. He says, that come to naught. Amen. Can I tell you that the wisdom of God lasts? Amen. There's nothing new out there. There's people throw stuff out there now and say, well, I've got this new thought, this new idea. All of it's just the same stuff packaged up just a little bit different. It's the same mess. Been going on for centuries and centuries. But the Word of God stands sure. Amen. It says, the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Another one of my great researches here, my Bible actually references Acts chapter 13. We can look there if you want to. Acts 13. Be turning there, and while you're turning there, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2, because I also like the way Peter put it on the day of Pentecost when he preached. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then over in Acts 13, where we reference, it says, Acts 13:27. It says, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning them. Amen. These intelligent, educated men that stood up every day and read the prophets that said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The same ones that read that are the very same rulers that took him and said, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Let Jesus be crucified. It says, the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Paul says, the rulers of the world didn't know it. If they'd known it, they wouldn't have crucified their Messiah. Amen. They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have put him on that cross. Paul says, I've come preaching the wisdom of God. I've come preaching spiritual truths. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. We have the Spirit of the living God as believers living inside of us. The Spirit of God has shed abroad in our heart. One place Paul says that we can cry, Abba, Father. And that he is our Father. We can, it's a little strange phrase in a sense that we're not familiar with when you talk about Abba, Father. It just he's basically saying this, Father, Father, or the Father is our Father. Yeah. The creator of all things is our Father. Amen. Now, this might be a little hard sometimes for us to understand, but this is not universal. This is not for, not everyone can call him Father. It's those that have the Spirit of God, amen, those that are of faith in Jesus Christ, that those that have come the only way. There is no second way. There is no other option. It's only through Jesus Christ. that we can have fellowship with the Father. There's no other way to God. Man, that's a spiritual truth. That's a spiritual truth this morning. You say, well, I want a spiritual truth. No, you think, well, that means I'm gonna have this great mystery. Here's a mystery. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father that's been revealed. Amen. The light has shone. The light has come. We're no longer in darkness. But we have the glorious light of the gospel. It's almost like you're sitting in darkness and all of a sudden this light comes on. And we can see. Oh, that's it. That's a spiritual truth. That Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It says that the princes, the rulers of this age, the rulers of this world, they didn't know it. But, you know, even when you read there in the Gospels and you see often where Jesus would even teach in his disciples, and he'd say things to them, and even Peter at times didn't like what he had to say. And he'd say, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. And of course, they're like, well, no, Lord, we don't want you to go away. We absolutely. And who would blame them? I mean, you're walking with Jesus and listening to his teaching and listening, you know, to all his words. And never a man spoke like this man. So, of course, our reaction to that would be, oh, Lord, don't go away. But Jesus said, it's necessary. It's for your good that I go away. Because if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. And he will lead you unto all truths. Amen. The Spirit of God that fell there on the day of Pentecost, there on that 120 gathered in the upper room, those same men that, oh, Lord, don't leave us. And Peter said, don't let it be so, Lord. Amen. And get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a hindrance to me, Jesus said to him. Oh, Lord, I don't want you to go. He says, expedient. It's for your good that I go. That same Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. So that's a spiritual truth this morning. Amen. That's not carnality. That's not fleshly thing. That's not carnal. It's spiritual. Amen. Paul says, it's my prayer that you would be led into spiritual understanding, that you may know. Let's go to 1 John. God, Paul says in Corinthians, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. Maybe hold your place there. Look what John said. We're going to wrap it up here. 1 John, y'all remember now, I started late this morning, so let me go a little bit over. 1 John 5. Listen to what John says. Here's what we know. 1 John 5 and 20. And we know, this is spiritual truth, that the Son of God is come. We know this. We know that he hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true. This is the true God and eternal life. This is what we know. We know that the Son of God has come. How many knows that? That's a spiritual truth. And has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. How do we know him that is true? We may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might know the Father, that we might know him. Now back in Colossians, and we're done. Listen to how Paul puts it in Colossians. If I can find Colossians. Back in Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which had made us meet or made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's a spiritual truth this morning. That you and I phrases that we've heard all our life, a spiritual truth. We have forgiveness of sin, redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. Amen. Paul says, I came preaching nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I tell you this morning, that's enough. It's enough to preach Jesus. Because we are complete, Paul says later on in this chapter. We're complete in Him. Amen. It says, who is the image, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by Him and for Him. Jesus Christ, the image, He says, of the invisible God. Amen. Jesus came and did the will of His Father, He said. He says, I do nothing save what the Father tells me to do. I mean, He is the image of the invisible God. Those that we read in the Old Testament Scripture, as David prayed, Lord, hide not Thy face from me. Show me, Lord, Thy way, God. And here, what does he do? Lord, send salvation now. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, Lord, we're waiting upon you. And who comes on the scene? None other than Jesus Christ. And he comes and says, I came for the weak. Blessed are the poor. Blessed they that mourn. Blessed they that hunger and thirst, for you shall be filled. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we have what we need in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have what we need. He is the image of the invisible God. How do we know the Father? How do we know God whom we can't see? Jesus came and demonstrated Him. He was His image. Amen. They may have looked at the Father and said, But then here comes Jesus, and he came and had compassion. He came and was reached out to the lost. He came and reached out to the feeble, the weak. Amen. Those that couldn't help themselves. And he said, well, that's Jesus. Well, you know what? That's the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. How can we know God whom we hath not seen? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why we read the Gospels. Because it shows us who God is. Amen. It's revealed by His Spirit. Later on in the book of Acts, I tell you, when the Spirit of God began to move in the hearts of those men, they were able to say, oh, well, that's why that happened. I didn't understand it when Jesus said it, but boy, I understand it now because the Spirit has shown it unto me. A spiritual truth. Didn't understand what he meant, but boy, I'm glad for this comforter that lives inside of me. I'm glad for the Spirit of God that dwells in me and leads me and directs me. That's a spiritual truth this morning. Amen. That you might be filled. That's our desire. That's our prayer. Just as Paul prayed. It's our desire. You're saved. I hope you're a believer this morning. I hope you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and understood and believed on this wonderful gospel message that we have, that we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins. But we want you to grow in the knowledge of Him. Amen. I tell you, the more I learn, and it's the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable. Amen. It's not that we can't understand them. There's just no end to it. The depth of God. Amen. Hunger and thirst. We've been filled. It's not that we don't feel weak sometimes, because, you know, we've heard testimonies here, and I can testify of times in my life where you're going through a battle, and one thing about battles, they do make you weak. But I'm glad to know that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's more than a friend, he's a father. And we can say, Abba, the Father is our Father. Amen, and we can call on Him. And let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. Lord, thank You for Your wonderful Spirit. God, that, Lord, though we may feel weak, God, we're strong. Lord, though we may at times just be in the midst of a hardship and a battle, Father, You're able to strengthen us, God. Lord, that our salvation has come. God, our deliverer has come. And God, the spirit that we have, you've put this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency is of Christ and not of us. It's not of our own strength, God, but we lean upon you. Lord, we pray for each and every one here this morning, God, those that may be in a struggle right now, or those that may be feeling weak, God, we know, Lord, your spirit, Lord, you give strength to the weary. Lord, you give power to the powerless. God, those that hunger, they shall be filled. Thank you for your precious word. Minister to us this morning by your spirit, God. These spiritual truths, God, that we understand here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. These altars are open. If you want to come pray, please come pray. Pray at your seat, however you see fit.